This is Rising Up with Sonali, and I'm your host, Sonali Kolhatkar. We're online at risingupwithsonali.com. Hundreds of Horizon workers across the country took their children to the picket lines over the weekend in a show of family force. Workers have been on strike for over a month to demand that Verizon preserve middle-class jobs. The company has threatened to close call centers and refused to raise pay or improve pension plans. In a crucial election year when politicians pay lip service to income inequality, the strike has become emblematic of labor struggles in the United States. My guest is Bob Master. He is assistant to the vice president of the Communication Workers of America, CWA, District 1. Welcome to the show, Bob.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
Thanks so much for joining us. So it's been over a month. This must be very hard on Verizon workers. Can you tell us about the action that took place over the weekend first? How and why people brought their children, if you will, to the picket line?
Yeah, we had about 35 of these children's rallies all across the country. And, it's perfectly logical because really what we're fighting for, you know, is the future of our families, the future of good jobs in this country. And the families are obviously very much affected by the fact that their moms and dads are on strike. It makes things very tough. But we were demonstrating to the company and to the country that regardless of the hardships, people are united in fighting for what they need to get out of this contract.
And so remind our audience what the main issues are that is keeping workers on strike that Verizon is refusing to budge on.
I think you hit it exactly right in your intro. This is really a strike more than anything else that's about preserving good jobs in our communities. It really is not about money. It's not really about benefits. It's about job security. The company is seems dead set, over the last decade or so in really shrinking the workforce and in trying to get rid of family supporting jobs. They're constantly seeking to contract out our work to low-wage non-union contractors. As you mentioned, they want to shut down 16 call centers across the East Coast. A lot of that work would go to non-union call centers where people are making 11, 12 bucks an hour, and even potentially to the Philippines and to Mexico where thousands of workers are doing Verizon customer service work. We sent a delegation, in fact, to the Philippines and found out that workers there are making $1.25 an hour, working forced overtime without any extra pay, and that women in those call centers have to endure a pregnancy test every month because Verizon's contractors there refuse to have pregnant women on the job. So, we are saying a call center job can be a good middle class job if this company, which is enormously profitable, is willing to share some of its success with its workforce.
How much has this strike cost Verizon? Because for every day that the approximately 40,000 workers are off the job, Verizon is having to pay somebody else to do it, right?
Yes, and working their managers, an unlimited amount of overtime. There are different estimates out there. There was one out last week that said, I believe that the strike would cost the company at least $350 million in the second quarter alone in lost sales. What's very clear to us is, I don't know if it's available on the West Coast, but, inside the footprint, they are very aggressively marketing their high-speed broadband and television product called Fios. And frankly, none of the replacement workers are qualified to do the Fios installations. It's a very competitive market. So those are being lost competitors. We know from information on the internet and even from the Filipino call center workers that customers are really irate and calling the customer service centers all the time, angry that this strike is going on.
Mm-hmm. And how much would it cost Verizon to accept workers' demands? I mean, you said that the strike could cost them $350 million, but to actually treat your workers the way the workers want to be treated, how much would that cost?
We don't have a price tag for it, but it wouldn't be very big. Mm-hmm. This is a company that under the current contract has made $1.5 $1 billion a month. I'm going to repeat that because it's a big number. $1.5 billion a month in profits for the last 15 months straight.
Wow. And so that $350 million in losses, that's just a fraction of 1 month's profits?
Yeah. So that's right. And, you know, they pay the top executives about the top five guys. Maybe there's one woman among them. I don't know. Mostly it's guys. They pay them about $50 million a year. The CEO made over $18 million last year. And we have said to them very clearly across the table that we are willing to work with them to save them literally hundreds of millions of dollars on healthcare costs. We have good healthcare plans. Our members know, you know, what's happening in the world. People are paying more for their healthcare. We've demonstrated a willingness to be flexible. So it really is a case where the greed seems to have no limit. It's like, is $1.5 billion a month enough? Or, you know, does it have to be $2 billion a month? And do the executives have to make $25 million for them to be satisfied? Or can some of that be shared with the people who make it possible? Why else do you send good middle-class call center jobs to the Philippines where people are making $1.75 an hour and working forced overtime? So, we think it wouldn't really cost that much for them to make a fair settlement.
And Verizon CEO Lowell McAdam apparently made $18.5 million last year alone.
Exactly.
I mean, that's incredible. So how are Verizon workers dealing with being on strike? Because we know that when you have protracted strikes, it's been 7 weeks now, it's hard on families and people, no matter how the media casts it. The media casts it as, you know, barbecues on the picket line, enjoying the sunshine. But most people want to work.
Absolutely. Look, people are making huge sacrifices. It's very, very challenging for people. The union does pay a weekly strike benefit if it's $300 a month now. If the strike lasts longer than 57 days, it goes up to $400 a month.
That's nothing. It's not enough to live on.
Yeah, and, you know, I think a lot of our members, to the best that they could, saved up in preparation for a possible strike. But look, some are really struggling. We're raising money from other unions. We've gotten very generous contributions from a number of big unions that we're going to put into a solidarity fund to help people with emergency costs like utility payments and mortgages and so on. But we're so unused to people making these kinds of sacrifices in today's society to fight for a principle like this that it comes as a little bit of a shock, I suppose, to see people doing this, all 39,000 of them, understanding what's so important here, understanding the values and the issues that are involved and willing to make this sacrifice. But we see tremendous spirit on the picket line. I was at the rally we did on Saturday in front of Verizon Wireless in Brooklyn Heights, New York. And people are really, really determined and I think very proud of themselves for what they're doing.
Hmm. And your union, CWA, together with IBEW, are representing these nearly 40,000 workers that have been on strike for almost 2 months now. Is there any sense that it could wrap up? I'm seeing some reports that an agreement is forthcoming, possibly in early June. Is that too optimistic?
You never know what's going to happen in these situations. As you probably read, the Secretary of Labor, Tom Perez, convened a meeting a week ago Sunday of Lowell McAdam and the two presidents of the unions, Chris Shelton from CWA and Lonnie Stevenson from IBEW. A week ago Tuesday, they started an intensive bargaining process with the help of the Federal Mediation and Conciliation Service. The fact that they're still talking is a good sign, but I am very hesitant to predict anything here. I mean, we are preparing for whatever it's going to take to win this strike. Obviously, all of us hope that it'll wrap up soon, but right now we don't know.
Now, what about the way in which this strike is being seen nationally? Are you pleased with the kind of media coverage? I know that, you know, presidential candidate Bernie Sanders early on in the strike addressed Verizon workers, which makes sense given that his central platform is addressing the issue of income inequality. But has that entered enough the national consciousness and media coverage?
That's a great question. I would point out that CWA has endorsed Bernie Sanders, and so he came to a huge rally on the first day of the strike, about 2,000 picketers in downtown Brooklyn. But Hillary Clinton also, despite the fact that we haven't endorsed her, she came to the picket line as well at a wireless store in Midtown Manhattan on 42nd Street. And I think the fact that both of them, you know, have been supportive does indicate that the issues that we're striking over are really resonating with the American people. You know, there's a reason why Bernie's message about inequality and the system being rigged is resonating so strongly with voters. And we feel like, you know, in general, the press coverage has been quite good. I mean, we've got very, very strong editorials in the New York Daily News and the New York Star Ledger. The New York Daily News headlined their editorial, "Strike for the Middle Class." And so I think people really get the idea here that the people who run these corporations are just trying to take money out of our pockets because they can. And it's pretty offensive to people. And I think people are very supportive of the fact that our members are standing up and standing together and trying to fight to protect the jobs, you know, that they have worked at for all these years.
And I'm also wondering, Bob, if you think that that Verizon workers are going to see strength themselves from the changing conversation that we have this year. I mean, there have been, you know, teachers on strike. There have been, you know, it seems as though, and this is anecdotal, I haven't seen a study, but it seems as though labor is a little bit bolder this year, a little bit bolder each year since the Occupy Wall Street movement, since the conversation in the country is coming to a consensus, no matter which part of the political spectrum you lie on. I mean, there are CEOs who agree that income inequality is hurting America. Is all of that heartening to you and to workers?
Yeah, I'm not 100% convinced about the CEO's solidarity, but there are a few. There's this guy, Nick Hanauer, I think you're talking about, perhaps, mm-hmm. in Seattle, who's been very supportive of the Fight for 15, and we really appreciate that. But, you know, I think your analysis is exactly right. It's not just in the U.S. It's a global phenomenon. You know, we're seeing the sort of post-Occupy political movements growing up everywhere. You take a look at Jeremy Corbyn, you know, taking over the Labour Party in Britain, what's happening in Spain now with Podemos and so on. So I think we do see a real backlash against the bankers and the corporate elite who have really wrecked our economy, have caused wages to stagnate for 35 years now while they've lined their own pockets. And so we did, you know, honestly, you know, in our thinking about going on strike, we were confident that we would have public support. You know, one little anecdote about this is that when we went on strike in 2011, the strike only lasted for 2 weeks. We had a long period of bargaining without a contract after that. We went on strike the beginning of August of 2011, and the response that we got at that time was so energetic and so positive, we thought, well, something is really going on, you know, in the street, in the country. And then, of course, 6 weeks later, Occupy Wall Street broke out, and we said to ourselves, oh, so that's what it was. And that hasn't gone away. In fact, a lot of people say it's even stronger than it was 5 years ago.
Now, we mentioned Sanders and we mentioned CEOs, but what about members of Congress? What are we seeing coming from Washington that is, you know, trying to see this strike be resolved properly? I mean, we have a Congress that's dominated by the Republican Party, who sees, you know, middle-class jobs as not necessary to our economy, that everything is going to trickle down from the pockets of the uber wealthy. Yeah. Are you seeing anything positive coming from Congress?
Well, you know, 20 U.S. senators, all of the senators, every Democratic senator from the Northeast, except one or two, I forget, I don't have it in front of me, signed a letter to Lowell McAdam asking him to come to a fair resolution of the contract dispute about a month or so before the strike. Just this past Thursday, we got a letter signed by 88 Democratic members of Congress, as you know, to McAdam and to the union officials, saying basically the union's got the right issues here, and you need to settle it and agree to compromise on the issues that the union is concerned about. I mean, obviously, the Republican Party is which controls Congress right now is not supportive as the party. Although I think it's interesting that a lot of these Republican elites are pretty upset that whatever you want to say about Trump, and he's a horrifying figure, his economics are not what the elites want. You know, he's anti-Wall Street. He's or at least nominally, he's against free trade agreements. He's not talking about stripping people of their entitlements, because the working class base, some of them of the Republican Party, are beginning to understand the emperor has no clothes, and all this trickle-down economics hasn't done them any good. So we'll see what happens in the Republican Party. That's a separate conversation. But, from the Democrats in Congress, we've gotten very, very good support.
Well, then finally, Bob, how can the public support Verizon workers? What, especially those who are Verizon customers, can the rest of us, if we can't come out to join a picket line personally, are there other things that can be done in support of striking workers?
Yeah, there are a lot of online petitions circulating, organizations like Move On and DFA and the Working Families Party and the AFL-CIO and Jobs with Justice have been circulating. People should go to our Facebook page or to our website, standup2verizon.com, and check out all the things that are going on. We encourage people to come and help picket Verizon Wireless stores. We're on strike as well at Verizon Wireless. We're fighting for our first contract for about 100 Verizon Wireless retail workers who joined the union in 2014, and that's a critical part of the fight. And if you go on standup2verizon.com, you can find a Verizon Wireless picket line near you. And look, we encourage people not to shop at Verizon Wireless stores. If you need a car charger or you need a tablet, go somewhere else. Don't patronize Verizon and Verizon Wireless. If it's at all possible.
At least until the strike's demands have been met.
Exactly.
Well, Bob, thank you so much for joining us. Is there a website you'd like to give out?
Standup2verizon.com. That's the one.
And we'll post that to our website later today as well. Bob, thanks so much and best of luck to you.
Thank you so much, Sonali.
Bob Master is an assistant to the vice president of CWA District 1. We've been talking about the ongoing Verizon strike that started April 13th. This is Rising Up with Sonali. I'm your host, Sonali Kolhatkar. We're online at risingupwithsonali.com. You can also find us on Facebook and Twitter at RU with Sonali. And you can find our interviews on iTunes and Vimeo.